Good morning.
How y'all doing? I will first start by thanking God for giving me the opportunity to be up here. Thanks to Brother Scott for encouraging me and setting a date. So it gives me no choice but to prepare and get ready and do the things accordingly. Thank Brother Mo for allowing me to be up here as well. Mo and I were talking before worship started about kind of like my style and the way I like to do things. So most of this sermon will just be us reading the Bible. And then I will interject a couple thoughts and points here and there as we go through it. So be ready. Get your Bibles opened. And we'll get into it. Just kind of give you an overarching view of what to expect. You notice in the scripture reading, upward and onward, kind of the title of the sermon. So, or I guess onward and then upward, right? We have to continue onward throughout this life, focusing on upward, the upward call. So most of what we talk about today is just simply perseverance throughout the trials and tribulations that we have in life, while staying steadfast and focused on the ultimate goal, which is going into heaven, right? We'll talk about what those steps look like, who those people are that get into heaven, the way in which you walk in this life in order to achieve that, and ultimately hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So with that, we'll get into it. Okay, I'll make inside this sermon, I'll make 4 points. How repetition and reminders help us. We'll talk about moving onward, taking action, working hard to grow, get better, forgive, focus our eyes upward, and then there's a standard, right? There's a standard that applies, and we'll focus on that as well. Okay, first Philippians 3, verse 1. I'm going to start talking about repetition. All right, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. And you'll see throughout the Bible there's various books and chapters that start with them talking about repetition. So we need reminders because it's easy to forget. Mo mentioned the Israelites and them celebrating the Passover. You'll see that theme throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New, right? Similarly, we're here today, Sunday. We meet every Sunday, right? Again, that goes to that theme of repetition and practicing something over and over again. Okay, so 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15 is our next scripture. Okay, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. For moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So even those who are established in the truth, right? Those of us in this room need reminders. There it is, black and white. 2 Peter 3, 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of a reminder, right? So having things reminded to us keeps them in the forefront of our minds and helps us to press on and move forward, right? So as we go through this life, if we have the Word of God on our hearts and our minds, it will help us to push through those difficult times that we go through. So we thanks, John, for reading Philippians 3, 12 through 17. It talks about some of the the things we're going to further elaborate on. So pressing on, right? The simple thing is that each Christian must do. We can't drift into heaven. That's not how this works. We can't expect God to do all the work while we sit back. If we go back to verse 13 in chapter 3, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, and then focusing upward, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So a couple things to ask yourselves. Will I press on when things get difficult, no matter how hard it gets? Will I continue the effort, right? Will I continue to study? Will I continue to come to worship services on Sunday? Will I continue to live the life I know I'm supposed to live, right? I know that life isn't always easy. I'm only 35, right? But I've faced some difficult things in my life. I'm sure all of us in this room can relate to that. There's stressors, right? Pressures, temptations, disappointments. But as Christians, we press on anyway. So a good passage for that is Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Then turn over to 1 Timothy 6:12. I mentioned it earlier, right? It's a fight. It's an effort. It takes time, energy, focus. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I'd like you to take a moment and think if you could imagine a soldier in the middle of battle deciding it's too much and giving up, right? You think that army, that country, that team would win the war, right? Nope. So recognize the hardships in your life. Remind yourself of the onward and upward call and commit yourself to press on. So running the race. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, the Christian life is like a race. You can't look backward and win, right? We need to lay every weight and sin aside and so that nothing holds us back. So perseverance, reaching forward. So Philippians 3, 13 through 14, I've read that already. We talked about it. We know what it says. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So two things I want to highlight there, right? So he says he does not run with uncertainty. And I can assure you, to each and every one of you, that you also don't have to run this race with uncertainty. There's a 100% certainty that this book gives us about what you need to do, how you need to do it, in order to win the race, right? And the race being eternal life in heaven with God, right? That's the race we're trying to run. Okay, not as one who beats the air. Again, so not as one who has no direction, right? There is clear guidance and direction. We'll get into that as we continue throughout the sermon. James 1:12 lends credibility to perseverance. Okay, so during this race, you will be tried. You will have trials. And blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Okay? Alright, there's no limit to our reaching. So this is the ESV. Puts it a little differently. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. Again, focused on what lies ahead. There's always room for growth. However impressive our path growth was, we must press on and reach forward. Okay, keep living by the same standard. What lies ahead, you may ask? So Philippians 3:17, back to our scripture reading. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have for us a pattern. So the idea of moving continues in what we just read. Paul talks about walking according to a pattern, right? And so the word walking there is actually an action word, meaning taken toward a destination. So it's a figure of speech that Paul uses frequently. So he uses it in Romans 4:12, he uses it in Romans 6:4, Ephesians 4:1, and Colossians 2:6-7. So go to Romans 4:12 first. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abram had while still uncircumcised. Okay, next is Romans 6:4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There it is, the same word. The Greek word for peripateo. That is the word here. So Ephesians 4:1 is where you'll see it again. So again, what is he doing? He's repeating himself, like we established earlier. So there's a reason he's repeating himself again and again and again and again. Right? So this word, peripateo, means literally or figuratively to live, right? Like how you live your life. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Again, same word, peripateo. Is there walk? Okay, Colossians 2 is our last one that I will demonstrate, or the Bible demonstrates regarding the word walk. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Okay, so when we reach forward, it's not an arbitrary direction. We are following the footsteps of those who have gone before us, such as Jesus, as it says there in Colossians, right? So we're walking in those footsteps. So we're walking in that example. Again, peripateo, meaning to live. Like we're living in that example. We're doing what the book says, not just in word, but in deed also. Okay, so Yeah, there it is. I got to it later. So in all five of those verses, if you include Philippians 3:17, the word for walk there is peripateo. I got ahead of myself. Which translated figuratively to live. All right, we need to live by the example that Jesus and the apostles have set for us during this walk and during this life that Paul speaks about. Okay, there's an emphasis on the rule or standard by which we walk also, right? So we're not arbitrarily walking like we've already mentioned. We have a degree of certainty, I would say the most degree of certainty. Assuming you read the book, you know what it says. We are to walk by the standard that God has given us. Okay, cool. So let's look at that standard. Let's dig into that. So 2 Timothy 2:5. So this is kind of talking about you can't win a competition unless you compete by the rules, right? So there's a set of rules. So for there is one God and one... Oops, wrong one. That's probably 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Okay, so you got to compete according to the rules, which would mean you got to know the rules, and then you got to obey the rules. Further, put something that is Romans 6:17 through 18. Okay. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Okay, so then we talked about this next verse in Bible study, which is a verse near and dear to my heart. Hebrews 4:11-13. Right? So, got to compete by the rules. You got to know the rules. The doctrine, that's what that verse said. The doctrine is the rules. The doctrine is the standard. Okay? And then, this next one is going to talk about that even if you don't know the standard, even if you don't agree with the standard, okay? So, and even if you think that it doesn't apply to you. Well, let's take a look at what Hebrews 4:11-13 says. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So let's pause right there, right? So what is that verse saying, right? Essentially, it's answering the question to the things I just mentioned. Doesn't matter what you feel about the standard, right? It doesn't matter if you think that doesn't apply to you. The fact of the matter is, it discerns your thoughts and intents in the heart. There's no creature hidden from it, so no one on earth can hide from what this book says. And second, and lastly, you must give an account. Whether you like it or not, when that day comes, you shall give an account. We all shall give an account. I shall give an account, right? According to the Word of God. Okay, cool. So that's the standard. We've established the standard, right? All right, so now we've established the standard. How does the standard want us to carry ourselves? So Colossians 3:12-17. Okay, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Okay. So, we can't make progress, we can't move forward and upward, unless we walk by the same rule, right? So, we have defined it, we've set the standard, we now understand it. God has defined the direction we must go to arrive at the destination He has offered us, right? What's the destination He has offered us? Eternal heaven, eternal life in heaven with Him, right? Okay, so life is about choices. It's up to you. It's up to everyone in this room. It's up to everyone in the world. You choose the direction that you go. So ask yourself, what direction am I going? Have I done the steps laid out in the Bible for me to go to heaven? What are the steps laid out in the Bible for me to go to heaven? Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. So Romans 10:17 is hearing the Word of God, right? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you've got to believe Jesus rose from the dead, confess your faith in Him, Romans 10:9, right? So Romans 10:9 reads, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead, you will be saved. In addition to that, you have to repent and be baptized. Just as they showed us, right? The Acts of the Apostles. The apostles walked the way that we are to walk, right? In Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's talk about baptism for a moment. So baptism is the word immersion. Okay, so you have to be completely immersed in the water in order to be baptized. Okay, it's not a sprinkling, it's not a shower, it's not a dip of your toe. It's a complete immersion into the water. And every example in the New Testament of baptism is that of an adult. There are no children baptisms in the Bible. That is what the book says. That is the example that it shows. All right, lastly, after you're baptized, you live faithfully unto death. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. All right, so hear, believe, confess, repent, be baptized, and live faithfully unto death. That's the standard. That's what you must do. Those are the things. When it all boils down, I know I said a whole lot of things today. I know the Bible says a whole lot of things. At the end of the day, that's the standard. That's what you must do. That's what you're going to be judged on. It cannot be more clear. All right? Hebrews 4:11-13 is explicitly clear. No matter what your thoughts, no matter what your feelings are about it, doesn't matter. This is what matters. The book is what matters. It is explicit. It is clear. Read the Word. Understand the Word. Follow the standard. Be obedient to God. If you are not a Christian, so, meaning you haven't done those steps, which I just mentioned, or you're not 100% certain that your baptism was done correctly, right? Let us know. Please come forward. Let us know. Let those here who are more experienced in the Word than I am, talk to you. I will talk to you if you're open to it. If you're online, give us a call. We want to help you. I want to help you. Please let us know as we stand.